Are you in there?
I'm here. I'm the right here. Hopefully, hopefully she'll not fail me. Not fail me. All right. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
My head's cut off. You have to see my whole head or you won't even think I'm here.
This is our theme song. I wish you had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it. Right? This is our theme song. Well, bless. You're so talented.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, we're back. And we're for back. Those watching YouTube clips of this, it may look like we're wearing the same outfit, but
we are.
It's because we are. That's just how we do, man.
Our clothes
we only have one shirt each.
Well, welcome back to the third episode of this season. We're just on a kick. So let's start by praying. One of the girls, one of you ladies want to pray?
I would love to, but should we first say who we are?
I'm Jerry.
Go ahead, Meredith.
Oh, I'm Meredith. I was waiting on you, Charity.
I know you are.
You're not doing the right order.
Oh, I messed everything up. I'm so sorry.
Gosh.
We will never know who we are now.
No. All confused.
I'm so confused.
I'm Charity. And I would love to open us in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these wonderful girls and for everyone who is tuning in and listening. And I pray that you would guide our conversation today as we're sharing from our hearts and things that we've learned throughout life from you, from statistics that Jerry has looked up. We give this time to you, Lord, and we ask that you would use it for your glory and your honor. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The statistics. So today, okay, so our last episode, we talked about mainstream media, kind of like overarching media, social media, and kind of that influence and how that can charge and lead treatment of single women. So today we're going to kind of focus in on film, TV, books, any type of single woman portrayal that we think, well, it can be both. It can either be something that we think kind of shows it in a good light, or it can be problematic and kind of go into why it would be, I don't know if harmful is the right term, but at least negative portrayal of single women and how that can kind of influence the treatment or even the beliefs that we've kind of already talked about, especially in that first episode about how we view other single people and how we think maybe that is led by these portrayals, maybe in society as a whole, and then specifically kind of in the church and how that maybe shouldn't be how the church is led in their treatment. But that's going to be another discussion on another day. Today, we'll just kind of focus in on the films and the portrayals themselves and kind of talk about why they could be considered negative as opposed to, I don't know, sometimes I think that people try to represent a lot of demographics just so there is representation. But unfortunately, that representation can be a caricature or, you know, not necessarily a depiction that is fair across the board. Sometimes it can just be a stereotype that isn't true to all instances. So for me, I'll open up. One of my favorite shows is New Girl. And actually, Charity, when you said statistics, I thought about an episode where Schmidt gets this information about the neighborhood that he's living in.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He hears someone breaks in and he goes, "Are you the criminals from the statistics?" It just
freaks out. I love that show so much.
I love that show. Like, honestly, I've watched it way too many times. It was one of my comfort shows in COVID. Like I would finish it and I would rewatch it. But as much as I loved Nick Schmidt, Winston and Coach, I always really was uncomfortable and didn't love the way they depicted Jess. And she is the new girl. She's the main character. She's kind of the one that everyone has kind of rallied around. And the show starts and she's just recently been dumped by her boyfriend that she's had for 5 years. And just the way that they treat her like she's a child, like she doesn't know how to make decisions, that she's naive, she's quirky. And it kind of always bothered me because she's an adult and they treat her like she's not. Like she's come out of this long-term relationship. She's a teacher and she's been a teacher for a while. And yeah, she's in a hard time. So she ends up moving into this loft apartment with 3 other men, but she's still a capable adult. In fact, you know, she has another friend, Cece, they've been friends forever. And she's kind of Cece's, I don't know, takes care of Cece because Cece, once again, the other single woman on the show, doesn't necessarily have it together either. And so it's interesting because I watch it and I love the show. And then I go, wait a minute. I don't know if I necessarily love how the one character I probably most identify with is portrayed.
But but the men on the show are single too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but reality, they are guiding her.
Yeah. But in reality, she actually is more put together than any, than almost any of them. Most of them.
But yeah, you're right. They're all single men, but they're all cool and, you know, really got, well, I take that back. I don't know if anybody can... Clem Winston is cool,
right?
But
maybe not.
He owns his quirkiness. He owns it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, you're right. They're all single, but yet they're all like, especially in the first episode, they're like guiding her through her singleness and how she's supposed to act. And it's like she's been single before, and she got herself a guy. I think she knows how to handle it. She's okay. Right. You don't got to do that. But I think it's a common misconception. I think we mentioned it in the first episode that if you're a single woman, then you're not truly grown up. You don't know how to take care of yourself. And so I feel like that character kind of feeds into that idea very easily. So I just didn't know if you guys had any examples. And it doesn't have to be the same stereotype. It doesn't have to be the same one. It can just be the one that you feel like is a commonly used and referred to one.
Well, even on New Girl, now this character only showed up like in one episode, but it really stood out to me. And I don't even know her name. But Winston was fighting with a neighbor about who owned the cat, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Woman comes out and is so obsessed with the cat that her shirt has the cat on it. She's wearing cat ears. She's wearing a cat tail. And she's the single woman in the apartment. And I'm like, now, as somebody-
Charity, why did that speak to you?
As somebody who has a cat and loves a cat, I will state that I am obsessed with my cat. I don't go around wearing cat ears and cat tails. So even just that stood out to me because she's the single woman in the apartment complex and she has to be so bizarrely weird that it makes you uncomfortable to watch her.
Well, and that's with a crazy cat lady like that.
That's a stereotype
that people will put on single women outside of media that say, oh, well, don't make sure you don't get too many cats or make sure, you know, somehow.
One of my pastors, and I love him to death, but there were two or three times over the past year where he's like, Charity, you have like three or four cats, right? I'm like, no, I have one cat. I was like, oh, Charity, how many cats do you have? One. I have one cat. Like, he just kept thinking I had a whole house load of cats. I don't know what. I mean,
maybe it's because you post so many pictures.
I post about the cat on Facebook a lot. I will say that. However, it is a bit of a stereotype that, oh, she's single, she has a cat, so she must have cats.
Yeah.
Which, there's nothing wrong even if you are single and you have multiple cats.
Exactly.
It's the impression, it's what the stereotype says to me is you're unable to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So you have, and so you're so emotionally defunct that you have to put all of your emotion and relationship into all these cats that you have, which is not the truth at all.
No.
Well, and so it's not along those lines, but like, I also think about another one that what's funny is I love Jane Austen. And the thing is, I love New Girl. Like, I don't dislike these shows and it's not going to keep me from watching it. I mean, you're not going to stop me from watching Emma. Okay. I love me some Johnny Lee Miller. That's it. But I do find sometimes that she, and I guess if you know her story, it makes sense, but she always seems to create these characters, the main female characters that, you know, I don't want to say it, but almost like that she's too good for a man. And I do think that I don't disagree with that. Sometimes I think I'm better than, you know, men too. But I do think there's this mentality of I'm too good for men. I don't want a man. I don't need a man. And I respect it in the sense that knowing what the time was and knowing how marriage was important in that time and how it kept, you know, social standings, it kept you from being in poverty. It really did protect you. But on the other hand, like, almost like you're too good for a relationship. You're too good to be with someone. Whereas I think it's okay to feel like you're too good to be with just anyone and have your standards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily a fair thing to say I'm too good for everyone, but I don't know if I misread that, but I feel like it's a pretty common character throughout. You know, I think about Elizabeth. I think she very much had that mentality. I think Emma does too, but I think she had a different, her family had money. She had money. I think she was going to be taken care of.
Yeah, she
exactly. She didn't necessarily need to marry. She was able to marry for love. Like that wasn't a thing. I think a little bit in persuasion. I think I forgot her name. I know Captain Wentworth. I can't remember her name, but I think she's a little bit.
Anne.
That's right. I think she can be a little bit better than thou mentality. And I'm like, it's either we're so desperate to be married or we think marriage is just beneath us and the worst thing. And I'm like, I think there's somewhere in between of, I kind of identify with both. I go, I want to be married. I'm not desperate to be married because that means I'm not willing to just marry anyone, but it doesn't mean that I've snubbed my nose at it either. Mm-hmm. Like I think I'm too good for it.
And then of course I look at those Jane Austen characters and I think of how she always worked their lives out in the end to where they had a man that, mm-hmm. you know,
adored them.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you, which we all love a happy ending. I love a happy ending. You know, I love a happily ever after story. But yeah, but I also think that it's funny that it's almost like their independence is what attracted the men to them. When in reality, that is something that I feel like can be a turnoff mm-hmm. for a lot of That's men true. Is the yeah. whole that we're strong and we're, you know, independent. And I mean, I'm sure there are many reasons why men love to go for the younger ladies. But many, many reasons. But I'm sure there's a big aspect of that to where, you know, you kind of get to lead and guide her and make her into what you want her to be. And with us more seasoned women, we're kind of who we are.
We are. Yeah.
And I'm not looking for someone to mansplain everything to me. I'm looking for someone to share my life with. As opposed to needing someone to guide me through life.
Yeah.
But I also want the man to be the man. Like I want him to want to protect me and to help me and to guard me and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I mean, obviously I think Jane Austen novels are misleading, but they're an escape, you know, and they were an escape for her own life to where.
Oh absolutely.
She didn't have anybody, you know? So I think that we as women love that. Well, and then on kind of the modern side of that, I just thought about like the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing mm-hmm. to where then you've got what is a modern single woman caught up in this sexual escapade mm-hmm. with this man. And I don't know much about those novels, but it seems to me that it's almost an abusive type of relationship. And it's almost like a predator type of thing.
I've seen memes where it goes, if 50 Shades of Grey were set in an RV parking lot, then it would be a Criminal Minds episode. But the fact that he has wealth and can shower her with all of this, stuff that she doesn't. And I know the story because I know it's based on Twilight. But what I've heard is that there are moments at home almost like he can't control. And so, yeah, it is very abusive and can be very controlling. I'm not looking for that either. I'm not looking to be controlled.
No. And then, you know, I think we have the influence of what we grew up with, which were Disney princesses. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course.
And I do feel like that skewed us a little bit.
Completely
in terms of that we're gonna have a prince that's gonna come rescue us because we need rescuing, ladies,
because mm-hmm. we're damsels in distress,
which it doesn't bother me. Like I don't mind it at all when a man comes swoops in to help me with something that I'm like, I literally physically don't have the strength to do this, like I need somebody to do this for me. But in terms of the need to be saved or to be rescued or that mm-hmm. it has to come from a man choosing me and falling in love with me and then pulling me out of that. And then I think it kind of sets up this idea in your mind that there's a man out there for me and mm-hmm. he's going to find me and he's going to choose me.
Well, and there are studies that show that consuming that constantly, all of the different ones, specifically romantic characters, people have found they have questioned them and they would rather be in unhealthy relationships than no relationships at all. Mm. After consuming all of that romantic content.
And studies show, so women have said, like a huge percentage of women have said that they would much rather have been married and divorced than to never marry or to have never been married and still be single.
I believe it.
And it all goes back to the whole idea is that at least somebody chose you at some point. At least somebody chose you. And I think that that's what most novels and books, you know, novels and books.
Those novels and books.
Those novels and books. And, you know, movies and pretty much all of the romantic stories, it's all about being chosen, you know? And so I feel like a lot of us women are kind of waiting around for that when it's not really, I mean, we should be choosing as well. I mean, it should be, I don't know. I think it really has set us up to believing, well, there's somebody out there. I mean, well, and it's interesting because, and I know we've talked about this before, but I even heard that in the church. I mean, I was supposed to keep myself pure for my husband, not for God, but I'm supposed to be sitting around waiting on my husband. I think all of those elements have created this illusion that there's a perfect somebody out there for us and all. It's just going to take him just come along and, you know, rescuing us from our current state of singleness, which is horrible.
I think about, okay, so Ever After, which I love.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I love that movie. And you have the scene where she rescues him because the gypsies have captured him. And he goes, I'll let you take whatever you can carry. But is that the end of the movie?
No, because she got to be rescued.
Exactly. He's still got to come and rescue her from that gross person. It's still very much leading. And granted, we're not in a situation where we've been sold to someone's household. So it's not that extreme, but I still think the idea is perpetuated. I'm saving you from a life of loneliness. I'm saving you from, you know, a life of being unfulfilled and not being content. I mean, that's another study is that a lot of other people view single women as unfulfilled and repressed and not content. And so I'm going to, as a man, I'm going to come and save you from those things. So that's why I'm here. Obviously, I'm here to rescue you. And I don't know. I don't even know if that's fair for men either. I think that puts a huge weight on them to be these, you know, quote unquote heroes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I don't think that's a fair expectation to put on them at all. I want a companion. And like you said, I do want someone to, I was having that thought the other day. My car is basically on the fritz. She needs to have an overhaul and financially not going to be the easiest situation in the world. And my dad passed away and he's usually the one to take care of my car. And I literally prayed, God, if you're not going to bring someone to take care of me, then you have to take care of me. And I immediately went, no, that's not fair. I don't want you to bring me someone to take care of me. I don't think that's fair. Not to say that we wouldn't take care of each other. But I don't want to look for someone just for the purposes of taking care of me. Yeah. I don't think that's a fair expectation to put on them. Because who knows, maybe there'll be a time when I have to really take care of him. I mean, I think about my mom and who had to take care of my dad with his medical stuff. So I did immediately go, no, that's not fair. I don't want to pray that. I don't want to be mad that you've not brought someone to take care of me. But also, you're still going to have to take care of me. Like, you're going to have to do it.
That's okay. Yeah.
He should be the one to take care of us, whether we're married or not. I mean, it's the whole idea that he sustains our life and he takes care of us. So, but it's the whole thing of, you know, I think at this age though, too, I mean, granted, I still love a romantic movie and a novel and, you know, all that stuff because I want to fall in love. You know, I want to fall in love with somebody that's also going to fall in love with me, you know, like that whole
thing. I don't want no unrequited business. Thank you.
Oh gosh. You know.
Seriously.
But there's also an element of, I want at this, especially at this age and state and the place that I am in my life, like I'm looking for real life, like somebody in it with me day in, day out. I mean, I'm really not looking for a fairy tale because I can take care of myself, me and God, you know, I mean, God, he really takes care of me and I just kind of go through the.
Absolutely.
But I'm independent. I'm fine. It is all doable, but now at this point, it's just finding somebody that I want to share life with. So I do think that there's a difference in this stage of our lives. And I'm grateful that it's not the fairy tale that I seek anymore, because I think, you know, I think life has just beat that right out of me to a certain extent, you know, but I mean, now it's just a matter of, you just want somebody to just be in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Somebody to be there with you in the trenches each and every day that obviously you know, love and support each other. But I also think that there's an element of, it's about what what we know that we can give in a relationship or in a marriage, as opposed to just thinking about what we're going to get out of it.
Yep.
Which I mean, studies show, right, that, you know, people who marry in their 30s and older, that their success rate is better.
Makes sense to me.
And I think that's probably just because they're a little more settled in life. It's not that it's that you're looking for different things in this stage of your life. Mm-hmm. But of course, I can only speak for myself because I'm an old lady. And that's the only perspective that I can give. But
see, but that's the other thing. We're not old ladies.
We're in the prime of life.
We're in the prime of life. But, you know, going into another stereotype, the spinster is the old lady who's single, who, you know, is alone and will die alone maybe and be miserable. I mean, that's another study that was given out, was they looked at depictions in certain shows that specifically had a single female character's death and what that death kind of caused the other, how the reaction was to that person's death. And so everyone thought, oh, she must have been so sad and lonely and she must have just had such a hard life. When they never actually confirm that that's what the situation was, they just speculate it. Then therefore they go, well, I have to find someone because I can't die alone. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't for one minute think if I were to, not to have to be super depressing and go down that path, but I don't think if I were to pass away tomorrow that it was because I was alone and lonely. I mean, my family, my friend, like that, I don't think that's a fair characterization of someone's end of life just because they're single.
Right. But it isn't just depicted in movies. It's well, I mean, we talked about that in our last episode, but it's depicted that way in real life. I mean, when mm-hmm. a single person dies, there's this element of, oh, well, thank goodness they didn't have kids.
Right.
Well, thank goodness that nobody loved them.
No one's going to miss them.
That's just makes it so much better on everybody.
One less person I have to grieve. Good riddance. Good riddance.
You know. Because it is. It's kind of this lack of value on a person that is mm-hmm. that doesn't have a family.
And I think we touched on this characterization too also in the last episode, is the party girl. You know, you have TV shows. I can't remember what it was called. So it doesn't do any good. But it had one of the Belushis in it. Not the
one. Jim.
Yeah.
According to Jim. Yeah. Yes, and the sister was a hot mess.
It is a cute show. Once again, it's a show that I enjoyed, but the characterization of the single woman is like, I don't know if I love that. But he was, you know, it was really about his life, and he was married and they had two or three kids. I can't remember. But his sister-in-law would always come over and her life was kind of a hot mess. And mm-hmm. I mean, in all fairness, maybe sometimes I feel like that when I go over to my sister's, but it's still that idea that, oh, she's wild, she's single, she doesn't have responsibility, so she just acts a fool and she's dating all the time. And it's like, that's not really the case either. And also, if she is dating all the time, it's because she's trying to meet somebody, so good for her. Okay, let's not make her feel bad.
Right.
There's the exact same character, which and I think you'd find this in a lot, Mad About You. You know, Jamie's sister is the same way. She's mm-hmm. like, I mean, she just, it's failed relationship after failed relationship. She always dates these losers, you know, she falls in love too quickly. Yeah. And she's just a complete and total mess. So, mm-hmm. or then you've got, I mean, I would say that the Sex and the City characters,
absolutely.
Like they're supposed to be empowered single women who have their careers and all of that jazz.
And yet they spend every episode looking for something. And here's the thing. I actually really liked the original series because I loved the development of the friendships and how they talked it and how they focused on that. But I kept going. But at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. You're still four women who, yes, appreciate your friendships, but you're still looking for your husband. You're mm-hmm. still looking for, or a partner, a companion. You know, I mean, you're still, and at the end of the original series, all four of them ended up with who they wanted to end up with. That's
how
it worked out.
So I think that that's an area where women in the church are the same as women out of the church. We're all looking to find that one person to spend our lives with. We all, you know, so, and God made us to be relational. And God, when God created Adam and Eve, I mean, that was he created men and women to be, or at that time, man and woman to be together and to be in relationship and to enjoy each other. And then the dang fall had to happen.
It was rude. It was real rude. Yeah.
That was a hard one.
And which has led us to also have to toil and
have painful childbirth.
Yeah.
I mean, not me, but.
Well, somebody. But we still have all the joys of if we were going to have childhood and childbirth at some point.
That is accurate. That's accurate. Well, and I remember when we watched the Friends reunion and they talked about the whole, that it wouldn't work today, or it wouldn't work. A reunion wouldn't work, like as far as a comeback, a reboot, because the whole idea of the Friends show was it's a time in your life when your friends are your family. And I understood that and I appreciated it, but also kind of made me a little sad too.
Yeah. You girls are always going to be my family, whether I'm married or not. That's never
going to change. And I respect what they're saying. And I know relationships change when people get married and have kids. And I'm not naive enough to know that that wouldn't happen. But I also can't imagine not having my girlfriends as feeling like part of my family, regardless of what my marital status is.
100%.
Because sometimes he may make me mad and I may need to call somebody and be like, how do I fix this?
And that's what we're there for. Yeah.
Exactly. Or you say, no, he is in the wrong and he needs to fix himself. That's what you're supposed to say.
Oh, well, 100%. I mean, we're the ones that are going to be more angry than you are about it.
Exactly.
We have established that.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's another, the Friends, speaking of Friends, like they're another group of people who just dated constantly, you know, until every week was a new partner. And I'm like, I don't think that's realistic either. But maybe I have a skewed version. Maybe I'm the weird one in this equation. And it is pretty common to just date incessantly. I don't know.
I do know someone very close to me that does.
maybe I've been doing it wrong the whole time. Right. But is that okay though? That they now, when I watch this, I question whether or not I'm doing it right.
Right.
Well, that. But then also, the person that's close to you, has she found anybody yet? Has that worked out?
Not yet.
So you know. Yeah. So I think that we have to remember that too. It's not that that's the recipe either.
No.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, I think people just go about it in a different way. But yeah, I mean, I don't think movies are kind to single women. I mean, maybe they're kinder if they're the main character and we know it's going to lead to finding the Mr. Right person.
That's like, okay, so there's an author I love. I'm going to say her name wrong, and I'm sorry. It's Deanne Gist or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She is a great romance. She's a Christian romance novelist. I recommend her.
Jerry got me reading some of her books.
I adore her. Mm-hmm. All of her books end up, everyone's happy and together, except for one. There's one book.
It made you mad, didn't it?
Well,
there was a sequel.
Guess exactly. That's my point. Guess what book got a sequel? It's the one that she didn't
end unhappy.
Can't end without
also,
her.
Also, she was the one that was old at 30, and it was past her time where she could find anybody.
She had to go get her a young.
She got a younger man, is what she did.
Yeah. And of course, I loved the sequel. I ate it up. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah.
But it's because I wasn't okay with here's the crazy thing about that first book. She actually ends content. Like, she's okay with why she's single. Yeah. She's okay with why it happened. She lives her life. It could have ended there, but it couldn't have. Because then it's not the formula. So she has to go into a second book, and that one has to end.
Yeah.
Well, what else does that make you think of? Hallmark movies.
Oh, you don't want me to get on that.
Damn.
Hallmark and I have definitely had a breakup, and we're not on good terms right now. Yeah.
Jerry, it drives me insane. Breakup is one of my favorite things.
Okay, but who quit a full-time CEO job to make Reeves? What is that?
When you're a Hallmark movie, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, of course.
Can't.
There's a demand for Reeves making
all
people.
Year round.
She was going to make a wreath for a high school graduate boy who is graduating. Yeah. She's going to make a wreath. Who wants that?
His mom does.
Well, anyway.
But you're so mad about it.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Jealous is what you are, Jerry.
That's probably what it is. And here's the thing is talking about real, like those are movies that are so far into escapism, they make me mad. Like there's no way to even reach that level of escapism. And I know people love them. And if they, I mean, it's a market and they are eating it up and good for them. Mm-hmm. And even happily married women are watching them and like falling in love with them. So I get it. Like it's across the board. They are loved, but it's such an unrealistic level of escapism that I can't even deal with it, honestly. Like it
they've always driven me nuts. I'm just
And I want to like them because I do sound like the bitter lady who that has not happened to, but I can't get on board. If I can tell you what they're gonna say, that's not I can just act the movie out. That's it.
But I also think that you're absolutely right, that is true escapism. And I think that people want to just see, you know, they just want something that feels good. They just want to watch something that makes them feel good. Another example I was thinking of, and I just thought about how devastating this movie I had is it called an existential? What is it?
An existential? Oh Lord, I don't know.
Is that what it is to have like a? I mean, I don't know. You tell me if this is what that is. So, I watched with my sister that movie. I see now. I wish that I could remember the name of it, but it's got the guy from New Girl, Schmidt from New Girl, and Sally Field.
Well, yeah, with Sally Field. Yeah, I still haven't been able to watch it because I know I bawled my eyes out.
But there's a sweet scene in the movie to where she's talking about her life and kind of what's happened in her life and how she's ended up where she is. And I just lost it. And I was talking with my sister and I said, oh my gosh, Melissa, that's me. I'm never gonna have anybody. Like, that's gonna be me. That's gonna be my story. I'm gonna be this old lady that doesn't have anything. Or I literally just went off the rails. Just silliness, really.
But Meredith, it's not silly if that's how you felt.
Absolutely. Well, it's true. It's true. Yeah. But it set such a fear and mourning in me.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
It was just horrible. Like, God, I don't. And that's what's interesting, though, about the portrayal is that her life was really sad. Her life was really sad because an opportunity came and it passed her by. Mm. And that was it. And I thought, you know, and it just seemed like such a sad portrayal of somebody older who's single.
I know it may not be the best movie that everybody wants to watch, but I wish there was a movie where a single woman, like, you just watched her age and she just aged throughout her life and she was happy with her life and she was single and it was wonderful. And
yeah, nobody wants to watch that movie.
Nobody will watch it. No. Nobody wants to see
a single woman age.
Woman get old and die, and everyone our fear would be like, she was rocking. Like,
we loved
her. Fun. Yeah. That was a good life, man. Woman, good job. I'm proud of you. Someone needs to write that movie, though. It may not make a lot of money, but it could win an Oscar.
It'll speak to us.
True.
Exactly. It may not make it on Hallmark, but I know there's no Hallmark card saying, happy you're still single day. Good job. Good job on keeping the record up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, you know, they also have those characters. It's usually a side character. And I just was thinking of this, that is so desperate to find somebody that they continually make a fool of themselves. And I'm thinking specifically of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yes. Uh-huh. I know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Just makes a daggum fool out of herself with men. Now she does get her man in the end, you know, but that's also how it's, if you do want it, then you're that person too.
Why can't it's like, I want it, but I'm not desperate. Like, why can't you just let me be that? Like,
exactly.
Everybody wants something. Everybody's trying to get something, and nobody makes someone look so desperate about it, except for single women and their desire for a spouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
You can have a healthy desire for it, but still live your life and have an amazing life.
Well, and this popped into my mind too, Charity, but that book that you and I both read that was called Get the Guy or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about how his whole thing in that whole book was how women needed to change and to be different and to do things differently
and approach men differently and
in order to actually, and not to say that I didn't glean some good male insight from that, but I just found it really interesting that it was really, of course, he was writing to the female audience. He was not writing to men. So I can't really, it wasn't as though he was giving, you know, advice for men how to treat women. So I get it. But it was very interesting, the things that he said, the way that we needed to be. And again, what that says, I mean, I've had conversations with, whether it be family or really close friends, especially older women that are married, and it's just like all the advice that they get and the things that they say, which is basically, you're not doing anything right.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
You existing isn't doing anything for you.
Right.
So it's just, I think that people just don't understand, especially when you have been unmarried for so long, how much of a weight it already is on you. And if you could change it overnight, obviously you would. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even an element of that. Maybe it's more difficult for us as Christian women, because there's this element of, but God, why don't you bring it to me? Like, why are you holding out on me? Why are you not being good to me in that way? But because we're bombarded with all the characters within the movie and, you know, bless the entertainment industry, it's just, they just can't help themselves when it comes to stereotypes. I don't think it's impossible, because it's just impossible to present a strong single woman not being in a relationship unless there's something really wrong with her.
I will say, I did think of one.
Okay, I will love it.
We're ready.
Do you guys remember the movie, and I think it was in the 90s, Return to Me?
Yeah.
Barely. Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver. Now she's living her life. I mean, she's working in her family's restaurant, but she's awesome. Everybody adores her, but she has to have a heart transplant. And that's the whole thing. Like, his wife passes away, she gets his wife's heart, and he ends up going to that restaurant, and he's with this obnoxious lady on a blind date, and he keeps seeing this waitress, and he's like, she's way cooler than this lady I'm with. And they have this sweet little love story, but she was wanting to get married, you know, she was wanting to get married, but she wasn't necessarily desperate for it. And it came her way.
And then I look at that. Yeah. And then there's real life where I go, what if? And then what if nothing?
What do you mean, what if you have a heart transplant, Meredith?
No. I mean, what if some guy caught my eye from across the room?
And yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. There's a movie called How to Be Single, I think is what it's called. It's with Rebel Wilson and Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
And I really liked the movie. I thought it was really funny. I was really appreciating it. Except for what I gave it props for is it literally had every single woman stereotype in the same movie. You had the partier, you had the woman who's desperate and will do all the planning and all the manipulation to get married. Yeah. And then you had the girl who was just newly single who needed to be led by the partier. But you know what happened at the end? She ended up with somebody. They all did. All three of them ended up with somebody. They didn't know how to be single. So they, and you don't, like Dakota Johnson's character, you don't see who she ends up with, but she goes on this like by herself expedition, this vacation, exploration, whatever. And then she's like, you take your time as single, because before you know it, and she turns around, it's like you meet someone, and then like she was supposed to have met that person. I was like, that has never once, I've not once gone to the Grand King, turned around and been like, oh, that's my husband. Okay, whatever.
Well, it's like there's so much that is unrealistic, but then sometimes, I mean, this is going to sound so corny, but isn't love kind of unrealistic too? It's kind of one of those things to where how it even happens, how two people ever even, whether it's chemistry or whatever it is. I mean, that's why we really shouldn't beat ourselves up about who we are and trying to change ourselves, because at the end of the day, there's no formula or recipe for falling in love with somebody. I don't know. I don't even have a thought anymore.
I do wish, like, kind of going back to how I feel like these characters influence treatment of single women, like I kind of do wish there were more just like sensible, put together single women that appear to be content with their life. Like I feel like an honest depiction of maybe who I, because when I watch these characters, like I love The Wedding Planner, y'all know I quote it all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time. But, you know, she's not even content with her life, but she's put together and everything is, you know, just so. And she's very, it's a control thing for her. Like, I kind of wish there was a movie that was meant to be enjoyed with a woman who was single and was like, yeah, I'm single and this is great. Thanks. I know we kind of laugh at it, but it's like, but would that kind of start maybe changing the narrative? Because I don't identify with these other ladies. And I don't know if I would want to end up with some of the people that they end up anyway. They meet some crazies on these journeys mm-hmm. in these movies.
Man. But I think that the reason they don't, Jerry, is that there's such a small demographic of people that are truly happy being single. And I'm sure, I mean, that's just like the truth.
I don't know if I'm happy being single, if that makes sense. I can still be content in my life.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. But I don't think anybody wants to watch a movie about it. What I'm saying, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree.
Well, maybe they don't have to watch a whole movie about it, but maybe they can at least introduce a character and you're like, yeah, she's single. She's okay. She's my friend. I mean, we're in a relationship and the movie's about us, but this is my single friend and she is okay.
And she's, yeah, and she's awesome and amazing and she loves her life and she doesn't need...
But we only give her like 10 minutes of screen time. The rest of it is for us.
In those 10 minutes, we got to watch her grow old and stay content with her life.
That's right.
I think we've written a movie is what I think we've
done. I think we have something brilliant here.
I'm funny.
Oh my goodness. Well, and like, I feel bad. So we talked about Disney princesses. The ones that don't have a romantic element to it are not my favorite. Them.
It's terrible, but it's true.
No, I want...
Like, Brave is cute. I probably won't ever watch it again.
Yeah, no, because she needed a prince.
Exactly.
Well, now, when you say that Elsa is a character, that she doesn't want anybody or need anybody,
true.
And she's had to come to terms with herself. And
she's true. Had two movies. No love yeah. this. That's true.
And, yeah, and they don't give any indication that she wants that. But the good thing is that they've got, you know, a little Anna or whatever, because mm-hmm.
yeah.
she does have a love interest.
Also, talk about your ice queen. That is just your stereotypical single woman anyway.
True.
Well, from that perspective.
I mean, that's literally.
Interesting.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
That is, yeah, yeah, I had not thought about that.
I'm sorry.
Jerry, I'm sorry, you ruined I said it all. That.
I apologize.
Well, so what we're saying is that it doesn't exist out there, that character does not exist in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is weird, but I guess that's the problem with most like caricatures or, you know, stereotypes in any type of media is it's not really reflective of maybe the actual demographic. It's just, it's more entertaining to watch a girl lose her absolute mind, I guess, and just kind of be crazy all over the place. But then you also have like, not just the crazy one. So there's another study talking about like the single female detective and how that plays out in she's hardened and she's like serious and she's like committed to her work. And like, that's why she's successful professionally. But does that leave room for love? Not a bit.
And is she really fulfilled without the love? Is the job
exactly.
really the fulfillment or mm-hmm. is she unfulfilled?
Exactly.
They usually bring in a love interest.
Except for Miss Marple. Y'all can watch Agatha Christie, Miss Marple. And
that's true.
I would.
But
like
how old is she?
Well, she old. She's real old.
Jerry,
we know her history.
You said, Jerry, you wanted to watch her grow old. So she's already old.
And she's living a fulfilled life. She's solving murder.
I don't think she was ever married. I could be wrong. Okay. So don't quote me on that. But I do think she loved somebody at one point in her life. But she never married. And now she's happy as a clam solving murder mysteries.
I love it. Agatha Christie.
I could be happy doing that. I could be happy.
There it is.
You want to solve murder mysteries.
Well, I just want to be the kooky character that helps the police out.
That's sweet. Okay, so because Miss
the right answer.
Miss Marple, she's not an actual detective or nothing.
That's not her job title, but she solves them. So oh, okay. She's it.
Well, you gotta have a hobby.
Those police wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Okay, but is that feeding the stereotype of being a busybody? She didn't have nothing to do, so now she makes her way into these cases.
No, she acts like she is a busybody in order to get information. Oh. Really, she's not, but she plays the role well.
She flips it on its head. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Look at it.
Those stereotypes to your advantage. That's a smart woman.
Oh, Lord. I think what we've discovered is it's not good out there in the, in the entertainment world.
It's as true.
To how we're portrayed.
Do you think that feeds people's perception, or do you think people's perception fed this stereotype?
Probably both, but I think it feeds people's perceptions. But it probably came out of perceptions that were already there. So
yeah.
Did the chicken lay the egg, or did the egg hatch the chicken?
Lay the chicken. Yep.
Close enough.
Which came first?
Mm-hmm. That's it. The chicken or the egg. Thank you.
It's interesting. That's what I'm saying. We gotta start writing these movies. So we'll change the perception. Mm.
But I don't even want to watch this movie. So you're gonna write.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I don't want to watch a movie about my life. I want to escape. Didn't we already discuss this? We want to escape.
I think I'd like to watch one, maybe just one, and be like, okay, that person lived her life. Now,
watch what Aladdin. About a single woman who has to go on some grand adventure, but it doesn't have to end in a love story? She's still fulfilled in her life.
Okay, but the thing is, she has to go on a grand adventure. Okay, so that is a movie. Technically, it's called Miss Harris. Well, I think it's Miss Harris, but maybe Harris goes to Paris. She's an older lady. Well, it's a new movie that's coming out, but actually, Angela Lansbury did it a while ago.
She'll get a dress. I've seen that movie.
She saves up her money, and because she wants to go buy a real Dior dress.
So sweet.
She's like a cleaner or something, so she has her little box. She doesn't take the bus anymore. She eats at home. She does all these things so she can save up her money so she can go to Paris and buy a real Dior dress.
And she does it.
And then she don't got nowhere else to wear it.
But she did it.
But she did it, at least. So she had that one great memory.
And we watched a whole movie about it.
Sounds precious.
Precious.
It actually is pretty precious. It is pretty sweet. And then, now, isn't Miss Marple the one who's in the new version? The lady that does Miss Marple? I might have made that up, but I feel like she is. I feel like that's the same lady. She's going, and I just ruined the ending for you, Meredith. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all okay. Right.
She was dying to go watch it anyway.
It wasn't on the forefront of my mind, but
it wasn't quite enough escapism.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if a man had been on the other side of the Dior dress, you know, that would be a whole different thing. She does. I feel like she meets somebody, but not like it doesn't really prove to be romantic. He kind of is like, oh, I like you. But then she goes back home or something. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
She's beloved everywhere she goes.
She is beloved. That's part of what the story is. See? She's an old lady who's loved.
Who's loved.
I mean.
Well, the main one, the big one, the one that I think is probably the most important, is that old lady who turns into a witch in The Wizard of Oz. I mean, if that's not a single woman stereotype, I don't know what is.
That was a dream,
but it was based on the character of who she was outside of the dream. She was that bike riding single woman who had a basket in front on the bed and her bike
and her puppy dog.
I gotta share with them real quick. I know you girls have heard this story, but when my two youngest brothers were in middle school, we were playing that game Taboo, and one of them pulls up a card and goes, charity rides this, and the other one immediately goes, a broom. He goes, yes. And then they just kept going, and I'm like, hold up, what just happened here? It was pretty funny. So mean, but so funny. But
clearly, they are both of those things.
True. Clearly, I was fitting that stereotype in my brother's minds, but whatever, it's fine.
But you know what? What's the life lesson here, ladies? What's the life lesson of bad portrayals?
Hollywood is a lie.
What did you say, Jerry?
That Hollywood is a lie.
Hollywood's a lie.
And that we can't let ourselves buy into that.
No. But that's we can true. Enjoy it in our escapism.
Yeah. Well, and I think it comes back to, like, I think we said this in the last episode. Where is our identity? Where is our true identity found?
Yeah.
You know, it's not found in these depictions and these caricatures of who we are. It's found in God and who we are in Him. And we have to continue to go back to that, even though it's easy because it's in our face constantly. It's easy to go into the perception and the lie of who we are as single women. And I think the struggle really for me more becomes also when it moves out of fantasy, when it moves out of entertainment and comes into real life. And I feel becoming, I don't want to say victim, but becoming, you know, having to answer for those characters, and that's not who I am. Not how I feel. And so just having to kind of remain strong in that and being like, I appreciate that's what you think of me, but it's not truth. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need to reassess that, but I appreciate the offer. So there you go.
There you go. This time we didn't solve the world's problems.
No, we just pointed them out.
We pointed them
out. No, I came up with a solution. Meredith just pooed on it real hard.
Going to write a movie. Well,
I'm not going to watch it. Ain't that the way?
I won't see that movie.
You wouldn't watch it if I wrote it and starred in it myself, Meredith?
Well, of course I would, Jerry. Of course I'd watch it.
Thank you.
Of course Thank I would. You.
But Meredith, what I love about you is you say you would hate it, but you probably believe it. And be like, that was just so stupid.
I would. I would. I'm sure that I would.
But I don't see myself doing that anytime soon. So. Okay. Charity, you're the actress. You write it.
Well, I'm not a writer, so there's the
details.
Problem. I could act it out if you wrote it.
Well, there's the problem.
There's the problem.
Oh, well. And I'm not participating.
She's like, I veto. I'm out.
Oh my goodness,
man.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
Amen. God bless.
Amen and God bless.
Amen and God bless. Love you guys.
Love you guys too. Hey, BSers. Remember to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Blessed Singleness Podcast and you'll be able to find us.
And wherever you listen to us, we're going to just know the three R's. Rate, review, and
remember to listen.
That's the one.
Podcast.
Remember to listen. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.